a warm and militant greetings to all of you. I know it's, you know, it's kind of gloomy outside, but we have to do what we have to do. First of all, I would like to thank the organizers of this activity for inviting KM to speak today. It's a great opportunity for us to share our experiences, particularly in Montreal. Being an immigrant in Montreal is not that easy. You know, I'm sure all of you know that. So let's start with the Philippines. What is the Philippines' condition right now? The Philippines is still a semi-feudal and semi-colonial country. It has been for the past 500 years. When we talk about self-determination, we've been trying to get rid of those people, the one that controls us for the past 500 years. When we talk about resistance, we've been resisting since the early 1300s, and we're still continuing the struggle today. How does this affect the youth, the Filipino youth in Montreal? It's quite simple. The Philippines now rely on a huge commodity. Before, we used to ship or sell a lot of sugarcane. But now, I'm gonna, you know, let you guess. What do you think is the biggest commodity in the Philippines now? Anyone? Anyone? I wanted to do that. Anyone? Anyone? What's the biggest commodity in the Philippines now?
Labor.
Labor. Workers. Believe it or not, our president, or their president, the Philippine president, goes around the world promoting cheap labor. We went to Ottawa once to denounce his visit to Ottawa because he's promoting that Filipino women are docile, they don't complain, and they're cheap. So why shop somewhere else? Buy Philippines. So we're actually shipping people. How does this affect the family structure of the Filipino people? It destroys everything. You have to understand, when our women migrates to countries like Canada, they are leaving something behind. They're leaving their family, sacrificing everything to have a better future for their family. So it works hand in hand. You know, Canada is to blame, and of course the Philippine government is to blame. Okay? Because instead of changing the structure, the political and economic structure of the Philippines, it's allowing itself to be raped by the United States and other imperialist country of their natural resources and of course of its people. Since there is still a continuing resistance in the Philippines, and it's growing by the day. It's getting stronger by the day. So anytime now, who knows, maybe I'm gonna see it in my lifetime, the change will come. But until the change is there, we still have to struggle. So when these women migrate to countries like Canada, it's not what they promise. They say it's always greener on the other side. It's not, it's white. Which is true. It's white. And they go through the whole process of LCP, which is the Live and Care program, which the Philippine government actually promotes. This program, the Live and Care program, is an actual program that, first of all, is a racist program. And it lessens, you know, your personal look at yourself. If most of these women that migrated to Canada or countries like Canada are professionals in the Philippines. Nurses, doctors, engineers. But Canada doesn't need engineers. They need domestic workers. If you look at Canada back in the 70s or late 60s, they needed professionals. They needed nurses, doctors, teachers. But now they close their doors for nurses, teachers, engineers. They want domestic workers. But the problem is, before, when Canada opened its door to immigrants like from the Philippines, they were allowed to bring their families with them. So when there's no separation between the family. But under the Live and Care program, you can't. You have to have 2 years mandatory live and care inside your employer's house, meaning to say you're isolated from the rest of Canadian society. You're staying in one individual house. So whatever happened in that house, there's nowhere to run. you can't rely on the Philippine consulate because they're just going to put you back in the house because they don't want to destroy the relationship between Canada and the Philippines. So you're on your own. They're not covered by the labor standards. Now, they are, pretty much. But they're not covered by any protection at all. So we're talking about 2 years mandatory leave inside a home, a stranger's home. And then after that, they have an opportunity to petition their family. So when they petition the family, we're talking about 5 years separation already. So when they petition the kids already grew. So they lost that time, you know, to getting to know each other, growing up, doing this, doing that. And of course, we all know that the Philippines is becoming more and more Americanized every day. The style of clothing, the lingo, the educational system, everything. It's so Western in the Philippines now. So if you look at any brochure, you're not going to see palm trees, sands. No, you're going to see malls. That's what the Philippines is all about right now. They're promoting that we're changing for the better. The better for whom? Not for us, because we're still migrating to countries like Canada. How does migration affect the Filipino youth? It destroys the Filipino youth. Because you're going to take these youths and transport them to Canada. First of all, the educational system in the Philippines is different in Canada. Okay? When we arrive in Canada, as a youth, we have to pass 2 years mandatory French. It's called the French Immersion Course. So it doesn't matter if you finish high school in the Philippines, when you go to Canada, especially in Quebec, you have to pass that program. And if you turn 18 and you haven't finished that program, you're automatically kicked out of the school. So you go to an adult school, and which is, of course, when this happens to the youth, they lose interest because they feel worthless. They feel like they're not going to make it into a new society. So what do? They start hanging out. They start hanging out in the metros. They start hanging out in the parks. They form these cliques, these small groups. Right now, Canadian government is labeling them as street gangs. And Bill C-7, they are considered as street gangs, an equivalent to the Hell's Angels. So we're talking about 15 years old being tried as a gang, which they are not. When we talk about harassment, okay, with the police, especially with the Montreal police, I can't even remember how many times I got stopped on the street for doing what I do, for organizing people, for helping people, for making sure that people know their rights and they would fight for their rights. I would get harassed every day, especially in Codines. Especially after the 9/11, they actually increase their presence in the community. Because as we all know, they tagged Professor Jose Maria Sison, which is the founding member of the Communist Party of the Philippines, as a terrorist, which is, of course, not true. But this affects the whole community because they see each Filipino as a terrorist.